Good morning and welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. I'm Amy Otto, joined by Lee Cantor. Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Miss Amy. How you been?
I'm great. This is my kind of weather.
I know. I love it.
Hey, guess what I'm going to do this weekend?
Shooting something?
No, that's Friday. You know the guests from the Lenfoot Hike Inn, the All Green
You're not
Inn?
Going up there.
I am for Mother's Day. You know, I have connections.
See that. That's good work. Nice.
I'm looking forward to that. So next week.
Are you going with your family or
yes,
friends?
No, whole family, all four of us. So next week, our listeners need to tune in because we talked about the experience at the Lenfoot Hike Inn. Now I can tell you firsthand.
What really goes down.
Exactly. On Mother's Day at the Lenfoot Hike Inn. I'm excited about our show, Lee. We've had some themed shows lately, but today we are breaking it up. We've got all kinds of different guests, so hang on tight, and our listeners are really in for a treat because, I mean, we've got everything today, everything from marketing to some legal folks. But our first guest is a husband-wife team. I'm looking forward to this, and then we're going to wrap it up at the end with a husband and wife team. So go figure. You know, all those folks out there that think I could never work with my spouse? Well, our first guest this morning, we have Vincent and Julia from Precision Custom Metals. Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning, Amy.
So I got to know, first of all, what's it like to work as husband and wife?
It's definitely got its perks. We know if each other had a bad day, and we can guess each other's mood.
All right.
So you know whether to talk to someone at nighttime when they come home.
Okay. Now, your business, too, is unusual because Precision Custom Metals, I mean, you got to talk about that. You do big stuff. I've seen you've gotten some awards lately in the Atlanta paper I saw you featured. First of all, tell us what Precision Custom Metals is.
PCM, or Precision Custom Metals, is a custom metal design and manufacturing company. We design, engineer, build, and install monumental stairs, custom rails, metal and glass canopies, and high-end architectural accents, sculptures, and water features, too.
So who has the background, the design background? Because that's pretty interesting. I mean, it's not, these aren't little things either. I saw the huge awning you did at a hotel,
right.
And
yes,
you've done some work at the Capitol's Visitor Center, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Those are big pieces.
We do a lot of work with the architects and contractors. We work hand in hand with them to develop their design into something that's functional. We're heavy into the engineering part of it, where we rely on the architects and designers for their original design.
So why did you choose this specialized market? I mean, there's a lot of different things you could design.
Yeah, we were in the furniture business early on, mm-hmm, and making architectural furniture, and it just seemed that there was a piece missing, that clients wanted bigger pieces, staircases, monumental stairs, and they didn't know where to go to, and they wanted that furniture quality. Mm-hmm. So naturally, we just fell into that niche. It was only supposed to be a guy in a truck.
Yeah. What makes stairs such a challenge? That there weren't that many people doing that?
It's the higher-end stairs that are the problem. They're working with the different materials, the bronzes, the stainlesses, and the glasses.
Mm-hmm.
Incorporating all those together seems to be a challenge for most people. And metal workers like to stick with metal, and wood guys like to stick with wood, mm-hmm, where we incorporate all those things into our accent.
And it becomes like the jewelry of the piece.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. The accents. You could have a great building, but it's, you know, structurally, but unless you add the accents.
Right.
So how did you get the work at the U.S. Capitol Visitor Center?
That was interesting. We've answered a request from a contractor who was looking for someone to help value engineer the project. They had gone grossly over budget with some of the items there, and they had some bronze railings that were solid bronze, and they wanted them value engineered to save some money. So we came up with a design that used custom accents, but we didn't use solid members. It was all hollow. Saved them about $80,000 on that one portion of the project.
So you've got a lot of work outside of Atlanta. Can you tell us about any of the projects inside Atlanta?
Sure. We've done quite a few projects in Atlanta over the past 14 years. Let's see, the Craft Atlanta and Craft Bar, which was just completed last year at the mansion. We did the monumental stair and a lot of architectural accents in there. And we've done work on some of the Buckhead Life Group restaurants, including Kima and Chops, mm-hmm, Lobster Bar. And we also did the Chops Lobster Bar in Boca Raton. But other Atlanta restaurants include Aquanox, Lola, Strip at the Atlantic Station, Lucky Food Lounge, and for the Biltmore Hotel, We did bronze ballroom railings and other decorative accents. And we also did the Ritz Spa at Lake Oconee and several Atlanta penthouses, including 2500 Peachtree Street, Park Avenue, and the Phoenix.
My goodness.
Yeah.
And you've been in business 14 years, mm-hmm. did you say?
14 years.
Yes.
Whew. So when someone brings you in, do they say, hey, look at this box, make it more interesting, or do they usually have something in mind and they just need the engineering component?
They usually have something in mind, and we figure out how to make it work.
So what's something that's like crazy that they said, and you're like, you got to be kidding me.
Right now we're working on a floating stair for the University of Hawaii, and it's only anchored at the ground and up at the top, and it's a dog leg radius Ooh. Rail. Mm-hmm. Now, if you could see my hands, you'd know what it looked like.
But you got to now figure out a way to make that work?
So we had to figure out, we had to engineer a way in order to get the architect what mm-hmm. they were looking for, which took a long time. And
has there ever been an instance where you're like, no, that's... We can't do that. Or you just always figure out a way?
No, we just always figure out a way. We're the mm-hmm. people you go to when no one else wants to do it.
Right.
What's your background? I mean, do one of you have an engineering background, or do you have an engineer on staff?
We have an engineer on staff.
On staff, yeah.
We've been doing this for so many years that we've just kind of figured out some ways to put things together.
And I have a BA in art, but it's not a 3D BA.
Yeah, and that is definitely 3D.
But you do also sculptures, right?
We do.
Yes. Is that, obviously that's a different skill set. Is that more rewarding for you guys?
It's just different. There's one sculpture that you actually can see from your car if you're driving north on 85 towards Spaghetti Junction. Just after the Corvette dealership on the left, it's a... It catches your eye because it's rotating. It's a stainless steel sculpture of two praying hands that's in front of the In Touch Ministries building. And we got an award for that one.
Neat.
Yes.
Any other awards we should know about? I'm sure there's lots.
This is 3 years in a row we've won Silver Place with the National Ornamental and Miscellaneous Metals Association, which is an international organization.
Mm-hmm.
So always a bridesmaid, never a bride.
No doubt. So in the information that was sent to me, which really intrigued me and wanted me to invite y'all as a guest, you talked about value engineering and why you call it more optimizing value. We've talked a little bit about how you're the jewelry on mm-hmm, the show. Mm-hmm. Maybe talk to that point a little bit about optimizing value.
Go ahead, Vincent.
Sure. When you value engineering has got such a negative tone to it. Everyone
with the word value? Why is that negative?
Because it's kind of become synonymous with cheap.
So we'd like to take it to the next level and use our skills and processes to save the customer money, making mm-hmm. it our way, and maybe just engineering or fitting differently that saves them money and...
But keeps the true design intent that the architect had in mind.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. With the economy, I know people are thinking, oh, that would not be a good business to be in. But y'all have weathered the hardships. Tell us about that.
We have. We were welding lawnmower handles last year. We were doing anything we could last year to keep the doors open. However, this year things have turned around, and we've got lots of projects going on. Projects are being re-released that were shut down years before.
Right, they had planned for it and then they put it on hold.
Right.
Yes, we had a lot in our sales pipeline and then they just disappeared and stopped and like indefinite hold.
Yeah, it's picking up again.
It's
picking up. Yeah, we've got the Four Seasons in Baltimore that started up again. We're working on the National Gallery of Art in Washington, D.C. So, yeah, some great projects.
Wonderful. How can our listeners reach you? If they're listening and they think either they want a sculpture for their home or they might have a business they want to add some flair to, how can they reach you?
They can call us at 770-938-5000 or on our website. It's www.precisioncustommetals.com.
And your website is neat, too, because it's got a lot of pictures of these projects.
Thank you. Thanks. We've also got on Facebook some more recent pictures.
Oh, good. So well, maybe you'll have to add this interview to
we
Facebook.
We will.
Oh,
absolutely. Absolutely.
And the husband and wife team is always neat. When it works, right?
Yes.
That's right.
That's great. Well, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
And we hope our listeners will definitely visit the website because some of the photos of what you do.
They are amazing.
It is amazing. It blows my mind
how,
especially the things that are hanging, the suspending things, because you know it's heavy. It's metal.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Very interesting. Well, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you. Our pleasure.
That's cool, Lee. I do like especially the husband and wife team. Could you work with your wife?
Yeah, absolutely. We used to work together.
Ooh, I'm not going to comment on that one.
You couldn't do it? Come on.
No.
What are you talking about?
Even doing yard work together is a challenge. You
really?
Know? Yeah, we have
You spend so much time together.
I know. Doing fun stuff, though. Not working.
That's the stress of work. But yeah. Too stressful, huh?
Yeah, I guess. Our next guest today, we have Robert Covington from Enable Business Solutions. And, I felt bad because Robert showed up last week. We've gotten so crazy with our schedule here.
Yes, it's getting a little out of control, as you can see from around the room here. No.
Well, I can't say no, and we're booked through the end of August. So I just like to put the spotlight in as many people as we can.
So now we have guests that just hang out in the lobby and hope for a chance to come in?
No.
Is that what's happening?
No. Robert's back for a second week. Thank you for coming back, Robert. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show.
It's my pleasure. It's good to be here, Amy.
So the service that you offer is a little complex, so we need to hear about it. Like telecom carriers, I know they rely on small businesses, and where do you fit into the mix?
Well, the overall problem we try to address is the fact that technology and telecommunications is quite overwhelming to the small business right now. If you're a larger business and you have an IT staff, it's pretty easy to navigate the constant changes in technology and services. But if you're a small business, and research shows that in most small businesses, the owner is the one making the decision, it's very difficult to keep abreast of the technological developments and to make good decisions. And so that's the niche we try to fit in for the small business owner and for the small nonprofit organization, for that matter.
So how do you go about helping a business owner make good decisions in that area?
Well, we really work to understand what they're trying to accomplish. You get many of the larger vendors who just call up and they expect the person calling to understand exactly what they want, and they have a checklist and that's all they can do. We go in and try to understand what their particular business need is, how their business functions, what problems they're trying to address, and then we leverage our knowledge of the technology market to fit the right products and services for them.
Now, isn't it because this industry is moving so rapidly? Like, you can sign up for something you think is a great deal, but like 6 months from now, there could be a better deal. Is there a strategy to kind of maximize the value for the customer?
We work with our customers to keep them out of long-term commitments, long-term contracts, because you're absolutely correct. The landscape is changing daily. And so if you get a customer that for example, signs up with AT&T for a service and signs a 3-year contract, they're stuck. And it's likely that the technology is going to improve in that 3 years and that the price is going to decrease in some cases dramatically.
What is a long-term contract? Would you say more than a year?
Well, it depends on the service. Some services are just not practical at a year or less because of the pricing. If somebody's putting in what we call a T1 circuit, which is basically 24 phone lines or substantial internet capacity, we generally tell people not to go over 2 years. For other services, we like to see them in a year or less contract, or in some cases, just a month to month.
I know a lot of times vendors will bundle stuff, and then you're not comparing apples to apples. How do you go about undoing
the bundle? They like that, right, to not compare apples to apples. They want to, you know, change it and put something in a package that you can't compare it directly to their competitor.
Oh, they love it because it's very difficult. You have to be quite analytical to do an apples-to-apples comparison because of the way they bundle it, and it seems like no two carriers come up with the same bundle
right,
for exactly the reason you pointed out.
Now, is this something, is this one of your value adds that you offer your customers? You're able to kind of decipher that?
It absolutely is. When a customer comes to us with a particular need, we shop for them with the various vendors and carriers that are out there, looking at not only their a la carte services, but the packages, and sometimes we have to sit down and build spreadsheets to do comparison.
Wow, it's that complex?
It is very often very complex. But
Do you have an example of like any amount of money you've saved somebody that maybe previously they were at X and then when you got involved they were less than that?
It's not uncommon at all for us to save 20, 30, 40% for a
wow,
customer over what they were paying.
Wow.
And so how long do you work with someone? Is it a one-time consultation, or do you continue the contact with the customer?
So far, we've never stopped working with the customer. They continue to call us for additional service needs, or they'll get a bill from one of their vendors and they'll have an item on it they don't understand. They'll call us and say, hey, can you help me sort this out? And so we tend to stay with them because they like the idea of somebody holding their hand and really being an advocate for them as opposed to an advocate for the vendor. And so they love to keep calling us and requesting additional assistance.
Does your help move from the business, you know, telephony to like cell phone as well? Or do you do mostly business, you know, their phone and the business internet?
No, we do cell phone work as well. For the more corporate customer, we're working with one customer right now who's providing air conditioning heating service.
Right.
And they've got a fleet of about 18 engineers. We're trying to re-engineer their not only their cell phone service, but we're trying to give their engineers access to a web-based system to allow them to be dispatched and to allow them to track customer problems and look at customer history. And so we do that aspect as well.
Because I would think with the cell phone technology now, with the GPS, you're able to utilize that to maybe have efficient ways of getting the people out there.
Yeah, that's correct. There are some very efficient GPS methods for routing people in the field now, which can save time and gasoline, both of which are a precious commodity these
days.
You teased me a little bit when you sent the information on 10 ways to save money on your telephone costs. I'm going to give a couple, and then maybe I'll let you throw one in, and then I'd love for our listeners to contact you because this is valuable stuff. You talk about the lifeblood of a small business, it's telecommunications. And if you can save, like you just said, 20 to 40% for someone, that's huge. Why wouldn't you call them, right, Lee?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean it's like, it's just free money, right?
It's making me
free
wonder.
Free money. Just call them up.
It's making me wonder now, too, though, because one of the first things on his top 10 list is eliminate dedicated fax lines. I've got one.
Really?
Really?
I got rid of mine. I didn't even talk to him. I knew that.
Eliminate services that you don't need. I probably
have
all kinds of
those. Do you have a telegraph line?
Oh, stop.
Do people still use faxes?
I do.
Why?
Oh, stop. That's a whole nother story.
It's surprising, but the use of fax is still very extensive.
Yeah, really?
Some industry uses
it all the time?
Yeah, exactly.
They don't have email there?
They have
PDF
email?
Files? No.
Oh, my gosh. You're so bad. And also how to reduce your long-distance charges. I know recently I was talking with my in-laws. They're still paying by the minute. I mean, there are probably people out there that don't know that there are bundled packages and then it's a lot cheaper, right?
Yeah, that's absolutely correct.
Okay, one more tip to tease our listeners as to why they need to contact you. Go for it, Robert.
Well, the most overwhelming way to save money on telecommunications costs is to take a look at your telecom bill and read them in detail. Now, that seems really obvious, but you'd be surprised at the number of people who start to look at their bill, which is probably 10 pages, and their eyes glaze over halfway down the first page, and they stop there. So they have no idea what services have been stuck on their bill that they don't know about. And with the ability of third-party companies to bill their services via your AT&T bill, very often we find things stuck on the bill that the customer does not know they have and definitely does not want. And so the overwhelming solution to saving money is to really understand what you're paying for, or to get help if your eyes glaze over looking at that bill and you need to figure out what's on there.
My eyes are glazing over. How can I reach you? Give us your contact information.
We can be reached at 678-341-2750. And our website is www.enablebusol.com.
Terrific. Robert, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Valuable information, Lee. That's one area I think a lot of people can save money.
And everybody's looking to save money.
You're right. And the bundled packages, that's where they definitely get you.
Yeah, and those hidden fees, like they'll be $4.95 here. You know, you don't know if those are real fees or make-believe. You have
exactly.
No idea.
Exactly. So if you're feeling captive to your phone plan, listen up. Different type of captive, but we've got our next guest, Matthew Howard, who is going to tell us all about what captive means when it's related to an insurance company. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show, Matthew.
Thank you, Amy. I appreciate that.
So, Matthew, you're an attorney with Moore, Ingram, Johnson & Steele. Tell us about your business. It's kind of complex, but you can probably give us the ABCs of captive insurance, right?
Well, I don't know about 7 minutes, but we can get close.
You can tease us at least to where we understand enough to have to call you, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. I think so. First and foremost, I'm part of a general practice firm and head up a tax department, and that's how we started doing captive work because of the tax efficiencies involved in captives. But at the end of the day, each client that sets up a captive is setting up a true liability insurance company, a privately held liability insurance company, to improve not only tax efficiencies but liability insurance efficiencies.
So Robert was talking about the phone plans. With a company, how large does someone need to contact you? They have to have a pretty big base, no?
Well, they do. For it to make the economies of scale make sense as far as the cost of implementation and management, we look for $3 million in gross revenue at a minimum and at least $1.5 million in net profit.
Okay, and then you can start helping folks save money?
Yeah, that's really the starting point. And then we can see if they become a good candidate for a captive, because in addition to those two indices, the gross and the net, they have to be able to defer at least $300,000, in our opinion. There is no legal minimum, but at least $300,000 a year on average and up to $1.2 million a year in the form of liability premiums to their captive.
And how long have captives been around?
Interesting. I looked that up the other day. A gentleman by the name of Frederick Rice, who's been inducted into the Insurance Hall of Fame.
The Insurance Hall of Fame. That must be a great place to go.
There is.
Oh, yeah.
What's on the walls there?
Well, Fred's picture.
That's
really
right.
At a minimum.
And famous insurance agent.
Yeah, probably Matthew soon, too.
Pens, documents.
Exactly.
That's good times there.
But he helped in the late 50s, 1950s, he helped a client set up a parent-owned, single-owned captive insurance company, and he coined the phrase captive.
Okay, that's good to know. Now, are there different types of captives?
There are. There are, first of all, there are large captives and small, defined as whether you pay total premiums of more or less than $1.2 million, because there are some tax advantages in the Internal Revenue Code if you are a captive paying premiums of less than $1.2 million. And also there are single parent captives, there are group captives, and now over the past few years they've broken out what are called cell captives. So there are various types.
I'm thinking, Lee, we might need a whole podcast on captives.
Yeah.
This is just
I
the
was
Cliff
thinking
Notes.
That too.
This is the Cliff Notes version, but there's a lot to know, definitely. Now, does your firm do all types? You just talked about the different types.
We really don't. We focus on the what are known as the small or 831B captives. 831B stands for the Internal Revenue Code section that allows for premiums of up to $1.2 million, which are deductible to the operating company, to be received by their captive tax-free. And we really focus on that because of the tax efficiencies in my tax department and our liability partners who actually draw up the policies. We're really playing in that area only.
Tell us a story. Give us an example. Who would contact you and walk us through that process?
Oh, goodness. It's really not industry-specific. A metal fabricating company, perhaps, who wants to augment or supplement their general liability.
Mm-hmm. I bet there's a lot of liability there, too.
Well, you know, you could have a floating staircase that falls, for example.
Not that it ever would.
No.
Right. No, not at all. But that's a perfect example, and it often starts with tax motivation issues. Where can we go to minimize our corporate income taxes and defer some dollars? Our retirement plans are capped out. We really have no other place to legally hide. And if they have at least an additional $300,000 of profit that they don't need, the owners don't need for their personal lifestyle, and they don't need for additional paid-in capital for the business, then that's a good starting point. We then identify risk and additional liability to what they currently have, and there's always additional liability and additional risk that they currently are self-insuring. Mm-hmm. So we bundle up maybe five or six different types of policies that may add up to that $300,000, $500,000, $1.2 million, and on an annual basis, it doesn't get much better than getting a line item tax deduction at the corporate level and then receiving those dollars at your own captive on a tax-free basis.
Okay, that was a great example, because I think a lot of our listeners are you know, might tune out and think, oh, that's not for me. But that was a great example, because I think, talk about the risk factor a little bit. I mean, do you analyze the risk factor with a company and the liability? How do you start?
Well, again, it starts oftentimes with tax-motivated issues, but when a client comes to us and a prospect comes to us, we spend a lot of time vetting that prospect as to whether or not they're a good candidate before the first dime is billed by our firm, because we want to make certain that even though they may be a candidate from a revenue standpoint for a captive, we want to make sure that there is enough liability and risk out there to come up with those types of policies. All these policies have to be actuarially rated. We do most of our work. We have done some offshore captives, but most of our work is done domestically. And the regulators in the jurisdictions like Kentucky, Utah, Vermont, they are sticklers to make certain that these are legitimate insurance policies that are being written.
Okay, so that's all regulated by the state?
Correct.
Is it where the account is domiciled or the actual physical locations?
That is the actual physical location of the insurance company.
Okay.
So you may have an operating business in Georgia. We set up an insurance company for them within the state of Kentucky. We have our own management company based out of Owensboro, Kentucky. And so it's a foreign insurance company covering additional liability issues for that particular business.
Wow, a lot to know. It's almost like you don't know what you don't know, and you know a lot. So, Matthew, why should someone call you?
Well, if they're looking for either tax efficiencies in their business or they're looking for liability efficiencies or a combination of both, they can give us a call. We spend a great deal of our time, like I said, vetting prospects. We do not want improper candidates going into the captive world. We want to make sure every single captive client of ours ends up being a very satisfied and happy client.
Terrific. And give us your contact information.
MIJS.com, www.MIJS for Morningham Johnson Seal.com, or MIJScaptive.com, and you can find all our contact information right there on either website.
And you have an office in both Roswell and also one in Florida, right?
We have offices in Marietta. We have offices in Santa Rosa Beach, Florida, Jacksonville, Florida, Nashville, Tennessee, and Knoxville, Tennessee.
Oh, it was on Roswell Street in Marietta.
Correct.
Gotcha. Wow. So you definitely cover a lot of territory, but you're out of the local office, right?
I'm out of both Florida and the local office, correct.
Terrific. Well, thanks for being with us today. And gosh, again, another way that companies can save money. And the other thing that's interesting to me, Lee, is that a lot of people don't know. I mean, you just don't know that about
the
different
tax
credits until
you contact
them.
That's why it's important to have a good trusted advisor that can kind of steer you in the right direction.
Absolutely, no doubt. Thanks so much for being with us today, Matthew.
Thank you.
You know, we talk about the economy and we talk about people cutting budgets and times being hard, but the one area that people tend to cut back on is one area they really should not, and that's marketing. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. This morning we have Melissa Packman from Ad One Marketing. Welcome.
Thank you. Good morning.
So, Melissa, Ad One Marketing is a little bit different in a couple of ways, but tell us, you actually put someone in a company to help with marketing, right?
We basically act as an extension of their team, but as a contract employee versus a permanent employee.
Okay.
Yeah, we help offset workloads, projects, brand launches, anything like that where they just need an extra set of hands.
Okay, so how often would you or how long would you work with a company?
We can do anything from a day, a week, a month, a year. We've been in some companies for 12 years in different capacities and functions across the company. Some of the people that we have that work with us have been on projects for as long as 3 years. Okay. They just sometimes find that their experience, the flexibility, the ability to bring them on and off projects is more beneficial to the bottom line than a permanent employee.
And how does a company decide their needs, or do you help them with that?
We help them do that. It's basically a pretty easy equation of them looking at the workload on their desks, the budgets they have, the people that they currently have working towards it, and what's coming up for product launches or brands or that kind of thing. So we go in and we can help them find somebody for a maternity leave, for an example, or a big brand launch that they just need somebody for 6 months to get it off the ground.
Now, how do you get people that are up to speed in the systems of that individual company?
Well, that's a very good question. Here in Atlanta, generally, we have folks that are available that have worked in the companies here based in Atlanta. Outside of that, we try to look regionally as well, so they've either have past experience.
So they're former, either employees or former contractors with that company, so they know their systems?
Generally, that's probably the best fit. We also go into ourselves and ramp up and learn the business for us as Ad One, and then we can train the contractor. Mm-hmm. As you know, marketing pretty much is transparent across all industries. A lot of times it's a promotion or it's a brand launch or it's an ad or it's a radio script or something like that. So those skills can be transferable from industry to industry.
Right. But it's just the process of how things get through the system that can't be transferred. So how do you navigate that world?
Exactly. Generally, it's best if we have somebody that has the past experience or has worked in an agency that knows the ins and the outs. So that's our job, to find the person that can hit the ground running.
Right.
That knows the system and can start right away.
Now, from the employee standpoint, is it better for the person to work contract through you, or sometimes do they make more money working contract as opposed to when they had their permanent job?
Sometimes, yes. More people do it more, though, for the flexibility and the ability to have different projects. It's sometimes a resume builder. You have the opportunity to work on different things you never would as a full-time employee. Or some folks only want to be a part-time or certain parts of the year, and so that's our job, to fit the person to the
right
position.
I would imagine there are some trends, too, that you see with women wanting to work part-time.
Exactly.
Definitely. What are the top five benefits to hiring a contractor? Can you give us five?
Yes. I think the first and foremost is that we are low cost as far as compared to a permanent employee. We can get in, hit the ground running. The people we have 10-plus years of experience, so you're bringing a broad work history that may not already be present on your team. So they've got new ideas, new approaches, and it's just a different way to get something done and out into the marketplace without having to worry about bringing on somebody permanently and finding work for them after that project is over.
So you would want to hire a part-time person or a contractor rather than a full-service agency for a lot of reasons. When you go in and do an analysis for a company, how do you help to find that right contractor?
Well, we look at what the position is and the skill set. It's really just like a company finding a permanent employee in most cases.
Right.
We want somebody that has the skills and the history and the background that they would hire for a full-time position. Because in all honesty, if things change in that department, it's a very easy transition for them to take that contractor to a permanent position.
Now, when you work with a large company, say there isn't a fit, how does that get handled?
Well, if a fit as far as the person,
like
you mean?
You put somebody in, you're like, oh, they'll be great. And then, you know, the company's like, you know, this person's just not working out. That's one of the benefits of working with somebody like you, because if,
exactly.
You know, if they're a
they're
permanent employee,
there's no commitment.
You know, right.
They can end it today, tomorrow,
really?
Whatever they need to. And then if it's an ongoing project, and we really haven't ever really had that happen, fortunately. But if it would, our plan in place is that we'd put somebody else in immediately. Or me, even as the business owner, would hop in and finish the project so that it's seamless for them. But
That's
the real true benefit for a company, is that they don't have to have the HR headache of trying to let someone go if it's not the right fit.
Sure. Now, you worked for Coca-Cola before starting this company. Maybe tell us a little bit about the differences. I mean, it's a huge company, and the marketing experience you had there, and how have you kind of translated that into what you're doing now?
Well, as you all know, Coca-Cola is a marketing giant, and they've got more brands and trademarks than most companies out there. So the experience we had at Coke, or a lot of us that actually still work on Ad One, work on Coke projects still, or have a Coke background. And so it is really the premier way to market, from the agencies that are chosen to the way they go into market to how stores, you know, display their products. So that is able to be taken and put into other sort of industries or smaller companies where you can really show your experience and make an immediate impact.
Do you mind talking about the fee structure at all? I mean, some people don't want to talk about price, but it sounds like there's a lot of value.
Why, you're looking for something? Anna? Need some side job?
Yeah. No. I might need some marketing, Lee.
No, we always were happy to talk about that, because that's one of our benefits. We come in generally under most contracting staffing companies, our fees do, and we're definitely a lot cheaper than a full-service agency in most cases. And so most people work virtually or on-site, so we have low overhead. And we want to be able to pay the contractor the most that we can, so at the same time we come in lower with our either hourly rates or retainer rates. So fee structure for us is always a good conversation, because when they're looking at what budgets they have, we 9 times out of 10 will probably be a better solution.
Terrific. I would imagine there are so many benefits to that too, Lee. You've got to have a lot of fun, because working in a lot of different industries, I mean, rather than just Coke, Maybe tell us a success story and then how folks can reach you.
Well, yes, we've been able to come into certain marketing departments. For example, there was a home builder here in Atlanta that during the economy was having a tough time. We were able to come in and staff their marketing department for 18 months, learn a whole different industry, but be able to take the skills we'd learned in other places, come out of it, and then use those people in other areas where they've gotten that home building skills right. that they wouldn't have had. So there's a lot of success stories because we've been able to go in and make immediate impacts on a lot of companies, especially in Atlanta, but then also in the Northeast and St. Louis and different places where we have found that this is a good fit. So
you find, I would imagine, since you're so connected to Coke, you have a lot of former Coke people floating around.
Yes.
Are their skills respected? Is that like a resume line that helps place people
yes.
if they know that they've gone through the Coke gauntlet?
Yeah, generally in the marketing world, Coke having the number one brands out there and being able to say you've worked on a Coca-Cola brand or a Coke Zero brand or you've worked on some of the best customers out there like a Kroger or a Publix or a Target, then people are able to see that, oh, the broad work experience they got there will translate immediately into what
right.
I need here.
Sure, I mm-hmm. would imagine. That's going to be a lot of fun.
It is fun. It's a whole different, you know, ball game when you get into customer marketing, brand marketing. But the nice thing is like we said, the skills are transferable. So it's a constant, you know, deadlines and exciting things going on. So everybody seems to like it, and it's a good solution for folks.
How can folks reach you?
Best way, me personally, is at 678-520-9894 or via our website, which is www.addonemarketing, and that's ADD, the number one, marketing all spelled out, .com.
Terrific. Thanks so much for being with us today. That's got to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's great. It's always interesting. There's always something new going on.
And it's sort of a niche. We've had a lot of folks on the show that do staffing, but not necessarily that
right.
specialized. Very interesting. Well, hang on tight because our next guest, I feel like we're giving people so many different resources this morning, but our next guest, Don, is ready to talk to us a little bit about how we can save money with growing businesses on the legal and business issues. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So tell us about your company and maybe how it started and how you've created your business model.
Well, Palladium Chief Legal Officers is a part-time chief legal officer service. It is not a law firm or a traditional staffing or temporary agency. It's a unique model that you see in other industries like your previous guest with marketing, and it is also very prevalent in the financial world with part-time CFOs, but hasn't really been in the legal industry yet. So what we do is we take attorneys who have extensive experience, 10, 15, 20, 30 years experience at being general counsels or divisional counsels in larger companies, and we allow small to mid-sized growing companies to benefit from that industry and that extensive experience by benefiting from them on a part-time basis, 1 day a week, 2 day a week, 3 day a week, that kind of thing. And it gives them the benefit of having what the big companies have in their in-house general counsel, but on a level that they can afford and benefit from, obviously not having the resources to hire a full-time, very expensive employee.
Now, what kind of attorney is attracted to this?
Interestingly, it's the in-house counsel and the law firm lawyers are very different. They do very different work, and they practice law very differently. So you typically have a line where people either like the law firm or they like the in-house.
Right.
So the people who are attracted to this are those who enjoy the in-house counsel and have decided that they're kind of tired of being in the larger, multi-lawyer
right.
corporate
making
departments.
Making all that money, just gets tired and boring.
It is. Exactly. I know. I've been there before, and this is a different situation, but it is a much more fun entrepreneurial environment. It's much more nimble, and they like being part of seeing how the business grows and being part of how the business grows and its strategy.
So how would a company know whether they need you?
Well, that's an interesting question because...
if you get a registered letter.
Yeah. then you're going to need a lot more than that. you've talked earlier in the show about you don't know what you don't know, and that's really what I say a lot about legal issues in the business because the business people mm-hmm. think everything is a business issue. They see business. They don't see how the various legal issues intertwine throughout their industry or their particular business because they just see everything. one way. And the reality is every decision they make and every activity they engage in has legal implications. The question is, do you know it? So what we do is we offer a legal health checkup that we'll go into a company for half a day, three quarters of a day, spend some time with their management team, ask them how they do their business, look at some documents, and then give them an idea of where they're headed. And given the different level of that company, whether they're a small, just startup, even pre-revenue, or they're a $75 million a year in revenue company, their needs are going to look different, but it's not going to be that they don't need anything. They're just going to look different.
Would you come in and just look at my stack of documents and tell me if it's really English? Because sometimes I look at them and the legal speak, I'm thinking, what is it really saying? I mean, is that something that y'all could, you look at things and then actually explain?
Lawyer to English translation.
That, it's interesting that you say that too, because that's one of the things I say we're best at doing, the in-house counsels, is translators. We translate in between business and legal. And because we're industry experts, we're not just legal experts, but we're industry experts, we come from various different industries, whether it's healthcare, telecom, technology, entertainment, manufacturing, distribution, etc. We've been in those industries for so many years that we know how all the legal issues intertwine within that industry. So when we go into any company's environment, we already know 80% of their business, but we also know the business of the people they do business with. And that's invaluable to business leaders, because what we are on their management team is not just a lawyer that deals documents. We actually can help them create the strategy they want to do and what they want to get where they want to go. So if they're trying to have an objective that's, you know, somewhere out in space and they want to go to the right to get there, we can say, wait a minute, you know, I know a better way to get there. Let's go to the left and then take a right, you know. And it's, we don't try to thwart business or say no. We say, here's a better solution that you might like better.
Now, I understand you do some training as well and offer courses and seminars. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. You know, because the in-house counsel role is not very well known or not very well appreciated, whether it's from the original point in law school all the way up to really even the mainstream industry, I do a lot of training to both law firm lawyers on how to work with an in-house counsel, because most law firm lawyers who've never been in-house, they don't really understand what's going on a day-to-day basis and the budgeting and all those kinds of things. And I help them learn how to work with the in-house counsel better. And then I also train young staff attorneys in like companies like Coca-Cola on how to be a better in-house counsel, so there's less on-the-job training. Mm. But then I also really try to focus a lot on women and negotiations and how women can be better negotiators and understanding the role of communication and how you're communicating in many more ways than just what you say, and help in that environment as well.
That's interesting. So do you give any, you go into companies and give these seminars. Do you offer any type of public seminars that people can attend?
I do. We are actually in a process of putting together a seminar on communications. It's going to be, we do like hour or two seminars where it's just more lecture oriented, but then we also do really in-depth workshops where people can really get the specifics of how they would react in a situation and then can take it with them when they leave, so that there's hopefully better absorption from what we're doing.
Now, does your company need more lawyers right now or more clients that need lawyers?
Well, we have a good number of lawyers, but I'm always looking for more good ones,
right?
Because I'm looking for industry
like specialists, right?
That's right. I want, you know, I could use somebody to replace myself in the healthcare industry.
Right. You'd like that.
I'd like that. Yeah. And, you know, just any other industry, we'd like to have some depth. Telecom is great. We've got a fantastic telecom attorney who's spent 30 years with Bell South and year or two after AT&T took over. And so he's the best telecom lawyer we could possibly get. It would be great to have some depth there in technology, but the in terms of clients, you know, we're selling a service that nobody knows is out here.
Right.
So
that's you have an education challenge.
It is. It's an education challenge, because we're sort of, you know, people think of lawyers as document deliverers, and they think, well, if I have a law firm lawyer that I know I can call.
Is that what you really think people think of lawyers?
Well, that's maybe one of the nicest things I could say. But, you know, people have to understand what the in-house counsel does versus mm-hmm. their outside law firm sure. that they call when they think they have an issue.
Right.
And that's an education effort, which is, you know, us being on the management team. And until they see it and experience it, once we get in there, they say, oh, wow, this is so fabulous.
Yeah, I wish I would have had this.
Exactly. Yeah. Then the one-day week turns into two and the two-day right. work turns into three.
It's just getting your foot in the door. That's a challenge.
It's, you know, telling them stories. You know, I can tell sure. them stories about how we helped a company get a better, you know, regulatory claim, or how we helped a person.
Right, because you're getting like an all-star team, but exactly. you're only paying like, you know, as a contractor rather than a full-time employee.
That you got that right. So they've got the benefit of having this level of person without the infrastructure costs.
Right.
You're so dynamic and passionate about what you do. What's your favorite part of what you do?
Wow.
Is it working with the clients? Is it, I mean, you still have your hands.
I would think
it's
starting this from nothing. I mean, this was just a blank page, right?
And it was.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's got to be rewarding.
My passion, I guess, is really trying to bring the role of the in-house counsel into the forefront and help businesses. I want to help businesses really achieve their objectives better, faster, and not have so many problems and not, I just enjoy helping, you know, and I can translate right. and I can teach and all those kinds of things. I don't right. know what I like best.
Gosh. So if you can give us your contact information, then I'm sure there's a lot of folks listening that you can help.
Oh, great. All the contact information is on the website, and that's palladiumlegal.com, and palladium is spelled PALLADIUM legal.com. And there's email addresses and our office phone number there, so would love to hear from people. We'd be happy to offer that part-time legal health checkup as well for all your listeners for either a very discounted rate or, mm-hmm. depending upon the situation, maybe even for free.
Wow.
Terrific.
There, good. Build that to your house.
Don, thanks so much for being with us today. Great information.
Thank you.
On to our next guest, again, a husband and wife combo, and I'm anxious to hear about this business, very intriguing. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. We have Henry Sosa and Lori Sosa. Welcome.
Thank you for having us.
And y'all are with the Southern Barter Club. Now, Southern Barter Club, that's not a club I go to for cocktails, right?
You can.
You could be. Why not?
So tell us about the Southern Barter Club.
We are a membership-based trading network and a marketplace for large and small businesses where local businesses can barter their services, their goods, their available resources in order to acquire services that they may need without spending cash.
So they're trade dollars.
Correct. One trade dollar is the equivalent of one cash dollar.
We're considered a third-party record keeper and basically a directory. So we have about 50,000 trading partners that are available worldwide and over 2,000 here in Atlanta.
Give me an example of what I can barter. Just one example of those 50,000 things.
Is there maybe a restaurant in there?
There's plenty. Mm-hmm.
The spectrum goes so far and wide. For example, in our membership, we have one lady that is a doula. So if you needed a doula, you can go to SBC. Now, I don't know if you might need one.
I don't think I would need one.
Okay. Well, then you may need perhaps someone in marketing that can help you launch your business. Or maybe you might need a dentist. You name the gamut of businesses, they're in our club.
Is the recession helped you get more people or hurt you?
It's thriving now.
Yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. It's helped because more and more people are holding on to their cash. And so they still need services, and that's where we come in. We are able to provide them with needed services while they hold on to their cash.
Now, can you just walk us through how it works? Like, say I'm the restaurant or I'm the dentist. So how do I join your organization? I have to pay a fee for that, and then I offer my services. So can you walk us through what the scenario would be and how I would get, you know, provide the service, capture the, I guess, barter dollars or whatever the term is, and then spend them?
Well, what we do is we facilitate round-robin trading. And so most businesses that have resources will go ahead and possibly have a direct trade. But there's a challenge to that because they may not see the value, or they may not find a trading partner that they're interested in with.
Right.
So with Southern Barter Club, when a business joins for $299 cash,
right,
it puts them in our business directory where we can go ahead and promote their services. So,
right,
for example, if you're a restaurant owner and you want grease trap and vent hood cleaning, you want new menu design and printing.
Right.
You might want entertainment, linens, whatever it be. Basically, what you would do is you would allow our businesses to dine in your establishment at the full value that's
but,
on your menu.
But more than the grease trap guy, anybody could dine there that's
exactly.
in the club.
The
right?
lawyer, the dentist, right. the chiropractor, the website designer, the plumber.
And then so they dine in and they spend these trade dollars. And then say I've accumulated 1,000 trade dollars. So now it's time for my grease trap cleaning or whatever. So now that costs $1,000. So I go to the grease trap guy that's in the thing and give him my trade dollars?
That's exactly correct. And the beautiful thing about that, as Lori mentioned, it's not direct trading. So that restaurant doesn't have to utilize his trade dollars with the people that are dining at his restaurant.
Right.
He earns those trade dollars, and now he goes. He looks in the membership, he sees the service that he needs, and he directly goes to that service and uses up his trade dollars.
The best part about barter, organized barter, is that as a business is earning his trade dollars, he's doing so at his own wholesale cost of doing business. So, for example, a restaurant, let's say to earn 100 cash dollars, typically it might cost maybe $30 or $35 cash to be mm-hmm. able to earn that 100 cash dollars.
Right.
Same scenario with trade. To earn that 100 trade dollars, he's invested maybe $30, $35, $40 tops cash dollars. And so now when he wants, for example, business cards, would it make sense for him to go to the printer and pay the printer his full retail cash price of 100 cash
right.
dollars?
Right, he'd rather spend his trade dollars. Now, is there a fee to the house for every transaction?
Yes. We have, as Lori mentioned earlier, the sign-up fee, which is $2.99.
Right.
But for every transaction, there's a 6% buy and sell transaction.
And that's cash?
Yes.
Yes, cash, 6% cash, and 6% trade dollars.
Now, are the trade dollars taxable?
Yes.
Okay.
The IRS views a barter dollar as it does a cash dollar.
Okay.
Now, if it's if the trade dollars earned are reinvested into the business, then just as if it was cash, it's a wash. They could write it off. So if it's for logo design, website design, upkeep of the business, anything that's back into the business, then it's not taxable in that case. However, our software and the record keeping tracks everything. So if the business owner decided to take a cruise or, you know, go get a haircut, a spa, a day at the spa, then yes, that's income and it's taxable.
But we don't give advice on that. We're not accountants.
Right, not.
So we let them know that they need to seek advice.
Right, which they can probably trade for.
Exactly.
No doubt. Now, I understand there's a cashless retail store and trading post. Tell us about that.
Well, we're the only cashless retail store in Georgia, 1,200 square feet in Gwinnett County. And basically, it's a consortium of just about every type of goods that a business person or just a consumer would want to be able to buy. Furniture, home decor, jewelry, gifts, perfume, PJs.
All new?
All brand new. We have a lot of liquidators in our club that instead of marking down all this brand new product, whether it be barbecue sauce, cases of it, or whether it be jewelry, we have resources where these are businesses that have available inventory that they see the value in trading it for the full retail price, and that gives them the buying power of being able to trade at their wholesale cost to get anything they want.
Can you tell my wheels are turning? I'm thinking, what can I barter? That is so neat. Well, how long has it been around?
Bartering has been around
forever.
Yes.
Well, bartering's exactly. been around forever. I know that. But I mean, how long have y'all had your company?
We just actually started last year. So we've been in business for a year. We've been focusing Gwinnett County. And just in Gwinnett County alone, we have over 200 members. However, we belong to the IBA, which allows us to share a currency with other trade exchanges. And so our members can trade with about 50,000 members nationwide.
In fact, we just helped a business locally that had guests coming in, so they wanted Atlanta hotels, they wanted Atlanta restaurants, and then they were heading to another conference in Florida. So we were able to get them, with their locally earned barter dollars, we were able to get them accommodations in Florida, as well as certificates to eat out on breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and limousine rides, and car rental, et cetera.
That's
all
a
without
cool
cash.
Idea. Yeah. Love the idea. Definitely a good idea. So if folks are interested in learning about the 50,000 trade partners and all the businesses locally, what's the website?
It is www.southernbarterclub.com.
Any final thoughts for us? I mean, I got to know what it's like to work as a husband and wife team. It obviously works well.
Oh, I think she loves it a lot.
What did she have to trade to get this position?
Yeah. What kind of bartering do the two of you do?
Well, I think she... Well, there's a great company called Barter for Brides.
Yeah, that's where you gather.
That's where we started.
Nice.
Oh, that's good. I usually have to barter. Like, the kitty litter box is not something I like to do, so I barter at home for that. You know, I'll make chocolate chip cookies if you. That's not
our,
a good
our whole life is based on barter.
I think everybody says.
And it sounds like it works well. Gosh, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
And give us the website one more time.
www.southernbarterclub.com.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
And we're wrapping it up today with someone that I really need to talk to, because right now you're looking at your watch and you're thinking, I should be at two places at one time. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show, Andrea.
Thank you.
So two places at one time. What is it all about? And I know I need it already, but tell us about your company.
We are a corporate concierge service. We're headquartered in Atlanta, and we serve all of North America, U.S. and Canada. We currently serve 432 locations and growing. We are almost a 19-year-old company. And a corporate concierge is kind of like an errand service that corporations offer as an employee benefit. So if you're an attorney at Austin & Byrd and billing out at $400 an hour, your time is better spent being billable, working directly with your client, as opposed to sitting at home and meeting the plumber or taking your car to the shop or going to the bank or the post office. So you call upon your corporate concierge to run all of your personal errands. We also have corporations that offer our service as a customer loyalty program. So, for instance, we work with the second largest bank throughout Canada, and they offer our services to all of their high net worth customers. So, I mean, you can imagine the loyalty that Amy would have if she knew, if she associated the fact that we went and cleaned her litter box with, you know, if she gave her private banker that type of credit for doing something like that.
No doubt. Mm-hmm. Now, I understand that you've been in business 17 years. So you founded this company a long time ago. Things have changed in 17 years, and it's just gotten busier and busier.
Has it changed, or is it the same kind of errands that are being run?
The same type of errands, very, very different clients. Back in the day, right? I sound old, right? I actually started the company when I just turned 24 years old. But it was a more male-dominated workforce, so we've seen a lot of women enter the workforce, and let's be honest, women are still bearing the brunt of most of the responsibility at home as well. So they are much more efficient at leveraging their time by utilizing the concierge service. We've also, initially, we were looking at consulting firms and companies that travel extensively, but now we've recognized everybody needs more time. So we have a much broader array of corporate clients that we serve in this economy as well.
Now, you mentioned some of the errands, but are they as simple as dry cleaning and waiting for the plumber? Is that basically the nuts and bolts of what your people do?
They can be.
They wait?
Yeah, we wait. We wait in the tagline. Mm-hmm. We wait for the plumber. We wait for the DSL installer. But it can be as simple as that, or it can be very complex. We plan your honeymoon in South Africa, plan people's wedding. So we get very, very involved as well. So right. Just depending on what and I think that's the beauty of it. It need not fit into a nice, neat little box. It needs to be whatever you need it to be.
Right.
And the service is defined differently by every single client.
So then how do you charge for that? Because isn't it a different skill set to wait in the DMV line than it is to plan a wedding?
Some of our people are a little overqualified to stand in the DMV line, I admit. The way we charge for it, we're on corporate retainer because our client is the corporation that they work for, right? So we're on corporate retainer with 1, 2, and 3-year corporate clients. So they either buy our services as an on-site service. So for instance, at Austin & Byrd here in Atlanta, we have concierge who are employees of two places, but they're on-site at Austin & Byrd.
Right.
So their cost would be associated with the number of my people they need on-site. USAA in San Antonio, they have 5 of our people full-time on-site because the USAA campus down there is enormous.
Right.
Smaller clients utilize our service by leveraging our virtual concierge. They may work out of their home and serve McKinsey in Manhattan. You know, they may work out of their home and serve. Even the Austin & Byrd office in New York is quite a bit smaller than the Atlanta office, so we serve them virtually. So their price is kind of like buying a cell phone minutes. Yeah, that corporation buys a package.
So they buy a package based on manpower and time.
Right.
Interesting. Now, y'all were named by Inc. Magazine's most over 500 fastest growing companies. You've really grown, and Catalyst Magazine had you as one of the top 50 entrepreneurs in 2002. That's a huge honor. So how did you start the growth? You started in Atlanta, and then where did you branch out from there?
Mostly through the Southeast, and then basically I studied how our corporate clients buy. And at that time, we were primarily serving consulting firms, and they were buying regionally. So we would sell the Atlanta office of then Anderson Consulting, now Accenture, and realize that they are divided regionally. So then we sold the Southeast region, then the West Coast region, the Midwest, et cetera. And so we would expand regionally, and we would only expand to places that we would sell the deal and then,
right, then expand.
Then expand.
Now, but when you very first started and you were this 24-year-old person, was it you?
Yeah, saying so, we a lot.
Right, you were.
But it was me.
But so you were like, I guess, unemployed, or you had an idea.
I quit my job. Yeah.
And you're like, my
parents,
what could I do? And you're like,
were
I
so
could
upset.
I can wait in line for people.
She's
right?
a Georgia Tech grad, too.
Right.
I mean, so she's, yeah.
Yeah, a good girl from Georgia Tech is supposed to get a good corporate job and stay in it for the rest of her life. So I didn't tell my parents.
Right.
I actually went out, started the company. I did, I hired Georgia Tech students to do some market research. I wrote the market research. I started the company. I put 50,000 miles on
client?
My car before I ever, like, you know, really said, I think we got something. My first corporate client was Accenture Atlanta.
Right. So but like, who was the first person that said, I'll pay you to do an errand?
There was an elderly person who broke her hip, and she lived by herself. And so we ran all of her errands. And then we had...
So you were just trying out the concept at that point. You're like, I'll do errands for anybody.
For anybody, for individuals.
And then you stumbled into a corporation accidentally or on purpose?
On purpose. As a good girl from Georgia Tech, I would study what industries I felt had the greatest need. And there was tremendous turnover in the corporate, in the consulting arena.
Right.
We're running out of time, but I got to know. You're giving away $500. Yeah. Tell us about it.
What we do for a living is we make life better for people. There's so many people around the world who are making life better, and we want to hear those great stories. So we have a competition called The Two Places Difference. We're giving away a cash prize of $500. People simply need to email us their stories of how they've made a difference in someone else's life. And you simply email it to contests, plural, CONTESTS, at twoplaces.com.
And that's the number two.
Yes. And our URL is twoplacesatonetime.com.
That sounds intriguing.
Yeah. You do a lot of good things. You going to sign up for that?
Any contest rules?
No.
Andrea picks whatever she likes.
You can enter as many stories as you want, and you know, and the best story wins.
Best story wins. And who's the judge?
We have a committee.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, not
you,
just me. Not just me.
Me, myself, and I.
No.
And what do you expect to gain from this? That's a pretty neat contest.
One, there's so much bad news, and we want there to be some good news out there. And I think people focus on the negative. And we want to broaden the scope and show people that everybody out there has the capacity to make a difference. And there's people just like you out there doing it.
That's great.
Good
I like
stuff.
That.
Yeah.
I like that. I hope our listeners will come up with some stories. Maybe we should have a whole show based around that winner.
Yeah, that would be great.
Nice.
We should do a podcast with the winner. I like that idea.
Bring your tissue. I'm certain that'll
I'm
be
sure.
Yeah.
A tearjerker. Yeah.
Gosh, thanks so much for being with us today. And give us the contact information one more time, Andrea.
Twoplacesatonetime.com, or our phone number locally is 404-815-9980 or 877-2-PLACES.
I love it. If I could check like five of my things off of the list at the beginning of the day,
there
how good
go.
Would that
right
feel?
Here. You'd be done. She's sitting right next to you.
I love it. Love it. Love it. Gosh, listeners, thanks so much for being with us today. And until next week, I'm Amy Otto with the Atlanta Business Radio Show. Have a wonderful week.